Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it's Saturday morning, so we are talking about our continuing series. We will occasionally also talk about questions and answers that have come in, and if there's any feedback or issues that are arising that I need to address, I'll do them on Saturdays. So feel free to give me, send me any questions you've got or comments that you'd like to have shared or that you think others might have a benefit from, and those will be discussed or shared also if they are pertinent on Saturdays. We've been addressing a long series on Saturday mornings, and because we have regular series on Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays that are going to be very long-term in scope, there are things that we will eventually discuss that I want to bring forward, and that this is one of them. And one of the challenges we have in this ministry approach is that much of what we are teaching is new to most Christians that have been at all involved in traditional religious circles. So one of the main things we try to do is avoid religious terminology and religious jargon, and we don't make assumptions that when we talk about faith, for instance, that we all know what we're talking about. Odds are, if we started to really nail things down, a lot of the terms that we all use, we don't all agree on for one reason or another. So rather than use those terms, we just go straight to what we mean. And which brings us to the second aspect of this ministry, is to make things practical. Make our Christian walk, make our relationship with God, relationship with this earth, our time here, relationship with others, practical, something we can do, something we can get our arms around, and something that is important and relevant to each of us. And because each of us have a different past, are living in a different present, and have different expectations for the future, the way God deals with each one of us and what he is revealing and how he makes himself known is different to each one of us. So one of our big goals is to present information in a way that you can take that information to God yourself. And he can make it real to you if this is something he wants you to be addressing now. So when you are looking for just someone to answer questions, we try to avoid saying that, okay, this is the truth about this, that, or the other thing. Because very often the reason something is bothering us is because it's God trying to get our attention. And rather than just saying, okay, here's the answer regarding that, instead we send you to God. He has the answers. And our job is to present to you ways, approaches, starting points, and sometimes midway points, for you to be able to overcome whatever hindrances you have, whether they're internal or external obstructions, so that you can hear God for yourself. Through that, we deal with the healing that needs to be brought in our lives by God, and also developing a whole different approach to this life. We are overcomers. We are not victims. And to learn to think and feel and act as the overcomers to rule and reign is our final goal. That's what, in general, this ministry is all about, is not only for individuals, but for the body of Christ at any given time that's alive here on this earth to be able to have everything that is necessary. When someone becomes a Christian, to be able to know, okay, this is how to know God, this is how to get my wounds healed, and then to be able to do it. At some point in time, we'll get back to the whole concept of a six-month church, that there's no reason anyone should really, you know, this is in broad general terms, it shouldn't take anyone longer than, say, 6 months to go from being an unbeliever to walking confidently in relationship with God. Because it's not dependent on who's teaching us. It's dependent on God himself. And very often, what instead we are focusing on and teaching others to focus on are distractions. Our doctrines, theologies, activities that others are telling us we need to accomplish or do to please God. So we are learning to remind ourselves that we have already done everything that is necessary to please God. He is well pleased with us. As soon as you became a Christian, you became a full son in him, a joint heir with Christ, not a lesser heir, a co-inheritor with him, not a lesser inheritor. And God is not up there worried about, okay, who's going to please me today? He's not out there going, I need to be glorified. I need to be honored. Nobody's paying me any attention. He's not whining about not getting the attention he deserves. He gets his own glory. He glorifies himself. And we can rest assured that he is doing that in us and through us on his terms. His idea, we don't need to defend him. He does quite a good job defending himself. So we don't need to worry that he's ever got anything out of his control. Everything's going perfectly according to his schedule. His purpose for us and in us is to bring us into a greater relationship with him. To do that, what does he do? He brings us into healing and to learn how to go to him to get healed. He teaches us how to overcome our flesh, which is the last enemy, our last enemy here on this earth. The devil is a defeated foe, and the world is a defeated foe. Only the flesh is something that we must combat on our own for ourselves. So we are not here to be concerned about what others are telling us, this is what your job is. We are here to be concerned about knowing what our day-to-day, moment-by-moment training assignment is. So as we approach our day-to-day life, and as we approach our setting goals that we're going to be getting into, it's going to be about us and him. Us as individuals and God. Our start, you know, we're not going to, when we say, okay, you know, what is our biggest goal for our life? You know, world peace is not one of the options. Now, if that's something you're working on, and we, you know, we'll start there, and we'll bring it back to, okay, what about world peace is it that you think that God has out of control? So last week we talked about releasing the whole, thinking about releasing your mind to consider, releasing your emotions and your activities, your behaviors, to consider the distinction between the three realms. And hopefully you had a chance to review the chart again, that there are, within the three realms, the natural realm, the supernatural realm, in the physical, the spiritual realm, there are laws and boundaries and distinctions that are real in each one of those realms. And as we recognize what those realms are and those boundaries are, and what functions, what aspect of us, our mind, will, our spirit, soul, and body, and others function in each one of those realms, it starts to give us a handle on how we react to each realm. As a spirit being, by our very nature, by our very identity, we already have authority and responsibility over the supernatural realm and over the natural realm. Just because we're not exercising that authority and responsibility doesn't at all mean that we don't have it. In many respects, God is protecting us from getting too far ahead of ourselves in exerting some of that authority. Like the illustration when Jesus and his disciples had been kicked out of, I can't remember which city it was, and one of the disciples said, you know, Father, Pastor, Jesus, shall we call down fire from heaven to burn up the city? And his response was, you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't know what spirit you are of. And that's God protecting us from ourselves, from doing more damage, because we're still learning. But what we want to be able to do is take that learning seriously. So we've been talking about this for a few weeks. We're going to get into it pretty hot and heavy. We've talked several times, given you some assignments to be writing things down about any questions you might have about the different realms. But what we want to start with is when we are talking about goals that were common in facing goals, we talk about short-term goals and long-term goals. When we're talking about relational goals with God, what we're really talking about are how God gets our attention. And those are usually short-term goals. And those are often brought to the surface by a crisis or a stress in our lives. Let me give you an example. Say you are in a car accident, or someone you love is in a car accident. And we don't know how to talk to God about it. Or we're in pain. We don't know if we're going to live or die. We don't know if someone else is going to live or die. It's a life or death situation. And either we don't know how to talk to God about it, or we don't know if what we're doing is enough. You know, we'll get the prayer chain going. We'll get the church praying for the situation, and we'll pull out all the stops to get through that one situation. And regardless of the results of the situation, what we find is a lot of the stress that comes to the surface is because of a lack of clarity and confidence that we have under those crisis situations. So a lot of times people will make deals with God. You know, God, if you just, tell me what to do in this situation, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Or I'll give up drinking. You know, we make bargains because it's based on, Lord, if you'll just come through for me for this short-term goal, the goal being needing information or a miracle or in something from God that we don't have, whether it's hearing from him or him moving on our behalf or making himself real in some way. The problem is that, especially those short-term goals, after they're resolved, if we've not learned okay, how to translate that short-term goal into a long-term goal. Once that event, that crisis has passed, in whatever way, we have left behind the motivation to find out why we did not have the confidence that we were hearing from God. We have left behind the motivation to know that we are hearing from Him. We have left behind that sense of panic or anger or fear that we don't know how to get God to move on our behalf. Whatever it is, because it's short term, once that short term crisis has passed, we don't know, we don't bother to take that as an opportunity to learn what was missing during that crisis. For instance, from a different perspective, say we have a financial crisis. A lot of people right now are going through crises involving their mortgages. And there's efforts to help them get out of the crisis. And sometimes, let's just create a situation, someone in your church is about to lose their home to foreclosure because they signed one of these subprime mortgages that was basically mandated by Congress. And the mortgage companies didn't want to do them in most cases, but they were forced to. So they gave mortgages to people who could not afford them, and now they can't afford them. So in many situations, these homeowners are going to others and asking for help, and in some cases receiving help. And in some cases, that's great. In other cases, that's only prolonging the agony for that individual. Because until you have learned what you did wrong, why you got into, shall we say, the mess, you can't prevent it from happening again. You don't learn your lesson. So this is in our relationship with God, that's what we want to look at. Are we learning the lessons that arise from our day-to-day, week-to-week, moment-by-moment relationship with God? So if we know that there is a way to be proactive in our relationship with God, that's what we want to learn, and that's what we want to take away from these short-term challenges. And yes, we want to be able to implement and integrate short-term goals, but recognize that as part of those short-term goals, maybe the reason those crises were so significant in our lives is because we had not learned how to set long-term supernatural soulical goals. So, for instance, as part of the whole process of looking at what your short-term goals are, I'd like you to just stop and think about the last three crises or stressful situations, or maybe something you're going on right now, three of them, and write them down. What are the three causes of stress in your life right now that if God was sitting down right next to you or across the table, whether you're at lunch or any kind of a situation, or driving, if He was right there with you, that you would like God to either take care of for you, wave his hand and just have it finished and completed, or if He was was able to answer questions or change you, any of those things. Just let's start with focusing on three things in your life that you would really, that are causing you stress, that you would really like to change. And they can be real simple. They don't need to be something like, you know, I wish I knew how God, you know, how the Father resurrected the Son. Or I'd love to be able to sit with Paul and talk to him about thus and so. Instead, what I'd like you to do is think and dwell on what's going on inside. What is causing you stress? What is causing you to lose sleep? What circumstances in your life are causing you to alter your decisions? They can be stresses at work, financial, physical, health, mental. Maybe you just can't get your mind under control. Things that are going on in your family. Things from your past that you just can't seem to get over. When you think about these things, what causes you the most greatest reaction, emotional or physical or any kind of reaction? And we're just going to stop for a minute and give you a couple seconds. And we're just going to ask the Lord, in fact, I'm just going to do it, and you can just follow along if you'd like. Otherwise, just trust that the Lord is going to bring to the surface those things that he wants to talk to you about and that he's ready to talk to you about. But if you can have those, just be ready to write these things down. And we're going to do a lot of writing things down. It's great if you can have the notebook that we talked about previously, but if not, however you want to do it is fine. We're not going to be at all, you know, technical or legalistic, but part of the process is taking things seriously, taking what God is doing in our lives seriously. He set up a multitude of training exercises for us. And unless we take them in the order that he presents them and learn from them what he wants us to learn from each training exercise, we will not get the greatest benefit from the next one. So we don't want to have to repeat some of these things. And a lot of us, that's all we're doing, is we're just repeating the same training exercise over and over and over again because we're not learning what God has set out for us to learn in that training exercise. So here's what we look at. We look at what may be causing us interference, and we look at bringing our own thoughts, our own mind, will, and emotions into a state of rest. So we're just going to do those two very quickly right now and allow the Lord to bring to the surface three areas that have been causing us problems, and some of these you may not even recognize have been causing you some kinds of challenges. But these are areas where we are going to, over time, develop long-term goals in order to either keep them from happening again or solve them as problems. Okay? So first, I just come against all interference that may be obstructing in any way, shape, or form what God wants to do in the listeners to this podcast right now. You must cease your interference, whether you have legal or illegal rights to interfere. You must go and where Jesus sends you, and you may not come back. You must take all your interferences in your lives with you. And, Lord, I just ask you to bring to the surface now any thoughts, emotions, or memories that will bring to the surface those three areas or events or crises, situations, stressors in each one of our lives that you are ready to help us develop long-term goals to finally settle and satisfy those areas in our lives, those negative areas. And specifically, we're looking at negative areas now. So, Laura, we're just going to give you a couple minutes or a few seconds to do that. Don't worry about writing something long. Just, you know, you can do that later, but for now, just put down three areas that the Lord brings to your attention. Okay, and if you need more time, you need to come back. You know, you can always replay this. But otherwise, even if you just had three words down, you know, for each area, you can always come back and flesh those out more fully. But the purpose is, for right now, is to recognize that, especially when there's an area that we keep coming back to, for instance, any addictions we have, any bad habits, you know, keep on, you know, back-talking our boss and losing our job, driving recklessly, not being able to make long-term decisions or significant decisions without, you know, on our own, not having our own confidence in who we are and what God has wants for us to do in certain situations, but always looking to others. Quite a variety of different things, but these are, he first gets our attention often by negatives in our lives. We will also be talking about positives, but again, since this is where God starts with us, this is also where we are going to start. So in our perspectives, we are going to look at our approach to setting goals twofold. And this first one is basically crisis goal setting. And the other kind we're going to be looking at is basically habitual goal setting, or developing the habit of goal setting. Okay, that we are going to be proactively looking at. Okay, we've accomplished this. What's next? And we can sort of think of that in terms of, rather than reacting, being proactive. Not just active, not just busy and doing things in the church, doing things in the ministry, we don't want to be just reacting to the circumstances in our lives that God brings into our lives to teach us a lesson, to teach us his lessons. But we want to be leaning into and raising our hand saying, God, what are we learning today? We want to not be dragged to class, but waiting when the door opens. This is an acknowledgement of what God, not only God wants for us, but also of what our spirit wants in and for us. So there's no contradiction between looking at the circumstances in our lives and recognizing that there are things we can't handle, and that there are things that are out of our control, and recognizing also that we are overcomers, and that these things are there because they are there to expose where we are wounded and where we are believing lies and where we have yet to learn to depend on God. So one does not reflect on the other. Just because you have these crisis situations in your lives is no reflection whatsoever on your status with God. You will never become a lesser son to him. You will never be less loved. You will never be less beloved and less honored and valued. And he never thinks less of you because you have a crisis in your life, because there is stress in your life. He's bringing that to the surface, and so he takes responsibility for it. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas, Prepare Ministries, and we'll be getting back together on Monday night at 6:30. Have a great weekend.